Coming up next, the midweek edition, the Wednesday edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Maurice, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative.
And good afternoon, all of Southern California. Welcome to yet another edition. When I say that, people go, well, Farley, we're glad you made it one more edition. Sometimes I feel like that. But anyway, I'm here, even though sometimes I look like a lunatic in the morning driving to work. God, can you believe that 405? I think if I ever go in the light, I'm going to try to do something about that 405. Turn it around and flip it upside down or something. You know, I think some people are going to a turtle race or something on the freeway. They're driving along in the fast lane. They don't care. You know, they're going 40. And here's Farley, got to get to the show in 5 minutes at the Rosecrans exit. And I'm sitting there going, excuse me, I'm trying to be spiritual, but if you don't get out of the way, I'm going to blow you off the road. But anyway, I did make it. So that's why I always say yet another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. And today's topic is called Why Astrology? Because a lot of people that are out there that don't believe in astrology will turn to us and they'll say, why do you believe in astrology? Why? What is with that stuff? Why are you wasting your time with that? So we're going to review here and take a look at why people do get into astrology and why they're interested in it. There are different levels of curiosity associated with the science of astrology or planetary astrology. Some people are just into sun sign astrology, and that's cool. You know, they're real comfortable in their little nest of sun sign astrology, and they open up their paper and read their horoscopes or listen to me on K-Rock when I do the sun sign forecast. But then there's those that are extremely curious about astrology, and I was thinking really hard the other day exactly why I got into astrology. Because there's really no reason for me to get into astrology because I was so busy watching sports and partying and having a good time and chasing women and doing all these things I wasn't supposed to do that one day I decided, whoop, I better find out what's going on here because things aren't going so well. Well, when I figured out, when I looked down deep as to why I got into astrology, I realized that I did chase women a lot, and maybe sometimes I'm still prone to doing that, but it sort of addicted at that point in the early 70s and the late 60s to relationships. And a lot of my listeners out there, as you know, you're all sucked in here and obsessed with needing closeness and needing warmth and tenderness and affection and love and marriage and romance. And if you've read any of the Shirley MacLaine books, you'll be full aware, you know, you'll totally become aware, especially if you've seen the movie, that the reason why she became metaphysical and esoteric was also due to relationships. You see, we take relationships so personal. We get so invested in relationships that we actually, I think we create an incredibly vulnerable atmosphere that surrounds our lives, meaning that we make the relationship that we're seeking after so important that God forbid anything should happen to it, because then the whole rest of our life goes down with it. So when I take a look actually at this radio show and why a lot of you, the listeners, get into astrology, I'm well aware that many of us have gone through trauma with relationships where we have been let down. And I like to always keep reminding myself that all things must pass and all relationships do have a finite ending. I hate to tell you that because you may be happily married, you might have your soulmate, you might have the best relationship of your life, but hey, reality strikes. And in this dimension, the illusion of separation, the illusion of termination right here on planet Earth, everything does pass, which means either someone's going to dump on you and reject you, or you're going to dump back on them and reject them, or one of the other person could end up having a new frame of mind in life and just phase the other person out. There's always death that separates people. So eventually one partner is left abandoned. We place so much emphasis in relationships. We place so much value. Our whole life we are conditioned, right? It's like human instinct to get involved and to fall in love and to get married and to seek after that impossible dream of balance and perfection with another person, that we get lost in it. We totally get it. It's like being stoned on something. You get wrapped up in it, then you find someone and you say to yourself, is this love? And then something comes around, some vibration goes, yes, this is love. And you recognize that one person is somebody special or
are better than anyone you've ever wanted, and you just totally invest your whole soul in them. It's like you take all your chakras and go, here, take my chakras, take my essence, take my soul, it's yours, stomp on it, whatever. But the problem is that one day, we are confronted oftentimes, especially concerning the laws of karma, with this limitation, where the relationship does end, and the person either does leave us, or the person does die, God forbid. In case we do remain happily married and one of the mates dies, that's very sad too, but it's still the feeling of abandonment, the feeling of loss, the feeling of loneliness, of emptiness, it remains. And that's why so many people in their stew or in their vortex of misery, when they are left abandoned or alone in a relationship, they go out there to try to seek answers. That's what I did. I was so racked with pain when my relationship, when my marriage ended, because I did love my wife very much, and I did enjoy being married, and you don't like having that taken from you. You know, when someone says, wait, well, Farley, you're not going to be married anymore. Here you are planning to have kids and form a happy life, and then one day it's ripped from you, literally ripped from you. So you go ahead, if you're smart, there's two choices. You either have a nervous breakdown, you know, I'm in a mental institution, or you have an emotional breakdown, and you go into drugs and alcohol, right? Or you seek answers, and you go on a quest to try to figure out why. Because there are two kinds of people in this life. There are people that go through the gauntlet called life and they keep getting hitting upside the head and they knock themselves in the head over and over and over, and it's like they're a bunch of dodo birds. You know, they just don't even care. They just go into a room and they end up getting blasted by some person in a relationship and they go get wasted and then they go out and get another one, get blasted by that one, get more wasted. And the thing here is that the other type of person will go out there to try to find out why. See, in my quest, in my road to understanding astrology, wow, did I try a lot of different things. I'm telling you, I was chanting, and I was also seeking help from ministers and priests and rabbis, went to group therapy, went to private therapy, just sitting there, you know, all this talk. And well, how did you feel about that? Well, I didn't feel too good. Well, do you miss your wife? Yes, as a matter of fact, I do miss my wife. Well, do you think you're going to feel better in a couple of days? No, I don't think I'm going to feel too much. I want you to tell me why it happened. Well, Farley, we want you to channel your stress. We don't really care why. We're trying to figure it out. But you pay us $50 a session, and eventually we'll let you know. So I sit there going, well, come on. You know, psychologically is really a wonderful science. God bless the therapist. But I know a lot of people that go through years of therapy, and they get absolutely no resolution. And then there's that one day of reckoning, right, when my car mysteriously drove up in front of a building with no sign on it, where I walked in the doorway for some unknown reason, and boom, there was an astrology school, an academy, with teachers that taught classes in meditation, just like what the Astrology Hour has now become on the radio. This was actually in real life, because some people, they walk into this academy called the Astrology Hour by just flipping their dials, right? But walked in there, and I thought to myself, here I am, just lost 70, 80 pounds, totally anorexic, perforated ulcer, depressed, sad, and frustrated, all this therapy, all this searching, no answers. Why not get an astrology reading? I know I'm a Leo, but that's all I know. So you go in there, and you sit down with a complete stranger, right? You give them their date, time, and city of birth. They call you back in 2 days, not long enough for them to do a TRW scan or FBI search on me, right? Walk into the office, sit down, and right off the bat, doesn't even know me, she looks at me with a sad look and says, did you just come out of an emotional, traumatic relationship breakup or possibly marriage or divorce? Well, let me tell you how long it took me to get my mouth off the floor. You know, because after a year and a half of searching for some kind of answers as to why it happened, no longer did I have to ask myself why astrology, because I knew that I was there for a purpose. You know, a lot of people experiment. And they call me up on the show, they hear the show, they pick up the station, they go, what's this, 12 noon, some astrology thing? And maybe their life is miserable. Maybe they're calling me up to find out what's going on. You know what, the best kind of caller I like a person that's in trouble, right? Somebody that's been freaking out, and then they call up, instead of saying general scan, they say, Farley, why don't you tell me what's going wrong in my life? And they want to try to put me on the spot to pinpoint it. And oftentimes, I will see that traumatic divorce or breakup or a traumatic career drop or being fired or some kind of accident or medical or health problem that cropped up, and then they get that aura, that vibration of ventilation, right? Finally, they feel like the wind is coming through them when they go, whoa, here's a guy I never knew. I just picked him up on the radio. I called him up, and now they know the answer to why astrology, and that's when they decide to make the commitment to send for their charts and take this show as an astrology class or an astrology academy. And that, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people do get involved in astrology. Many times, people don't have to go through drama or bad relationships, because you believe it or not, there are a lot of people out there who just don't play the game. I have friends that are virgins in their 30s, right? And they just don't even want to get involved. Maybe it's not their karma to have sex or love or fall in love, or maybe they're just not affected by society's conditioning, the need to get involved with another person. Some people, believe it or not, are so sensitive, they're even too sensitive for relationships. So obviously that's not going to be the trigger for everyone to get involved in astrology or metaphysics. But, you know, along the lines of spiritual growth and soul growth, sometimes during your path of life, you happen to reach some kind of fork in the road where the choice is confronted to you to get involved in astrology, like someone accidentally tuning into this show who's been waiting years to hear about this type of stuff. And then at that point, they'll have an instant rebirth. They'll send for their chart. It'll make perfect sense to them. And before they know it, they're involved in a whole new area of study and revelation. Cosmic self-realization is what I call it. And then there are those that are just plain curious. You know, there may be something about their eternal souls or something about their past life experiences that plug them in previously to astrologers or being an astrological person. I mean, there for hundreds of years there in the Middle Ages, a whole bunch of doctors and even priests had total astrological backgrounds. And in fact, people wouldn't even trust them unless they knew astrology. You're not going to look at my body unless you're an astrologer, buddy. You know, so talking about a doctor there maybe in Germany or in France in the 1400s or 1200s. And then there's also people that could have the breakdown. They could make the wrong choice. They could actually bottom out with alcohol or drugs, have the blackouts, have the health trauma, not take enough care of their bodies where they may require surgery or they may require some kind of major health maintenance, where all of a sudden, it's like we talked about on yesterday's show, people are confronted with this situation and they're asked to do something about it. It's like, oh, when do you turn to God? When do you turn to truth? When do you start looking for answers? When do you search for reasons why? When you're really in trouble and when you have bottomed out. Now, we are going to continue and talk more about why astrology, why people get into astrology. We're going to also get more into this area of breakdown, bottoming out, and also people that are just intuitive about it from being a baby. They get their chart done when they're like 4. Their mother goes, we're going to get a child's astroscope for you because you're ready for this stuff. And they grow up when they're 7. They go, I'm Pisces rising, and I know that. I wish I was 7 and knew I was a Libra rising. Maybe if I think too hard about that, I might end up being 7, poof, and I'll be Libra rising. You know what? Mercury's in Aries at 18. It's grand trine. My Sun, Leo, and my Jupiter in Sag. And I do feel like an elf monkey today, so that's probably why I'm a little bit, you know, different. But anyway, we're going to go to the phones in a moment. It's real easy to have a breakdown. You know, if you want to manifest a breakdown, you know, just, you ever see somebody walking down the street like a lunatic wailing and screaming? I like controlled breakdowns myself, a little controlled wailing and screaming and crying for the planet more than just for your selfish obsessions. It can be fun, too. But a lot of people have it. I think, in a way, what some doctors would call a nervous or an emotional breakdown, I call a normal process. You know, sometimes if I see myself breaking down, I'll go, yeah, let's really exemplify this stuff and let's channel a few thousand tears out here and dump all this crap that's been bugging us, you know? But the thing is that a lot of people will go through, in the process of separation from anything, not just a relationship. Your car was stolen, your house was broken into, your doggy died, your cat died, you know, something really sad, or your parents, your friends, where you just feel like tearing yourself apart. You're just distraught by it. And you know, what you gotta do is you gotta find some place where you feel comfortable and let it out. Whether you're screaming angry or frustrated, or whether you're crying, it takes time. You go to a therapist, you get sessions, and you pay them to cry, right? I don't have to pay anybody to cry. I go ahead and look in the mirror and see the sad state of it. That's enough. Or I'll put on The Way We Were by Barbara Streisand or watch some ridiculously sad movie like Hoosiers or something. But anyway, what happens is whenever you do let go of something and you are separated from something, you go through this process of letting go. And usually, first of all, the physical either is removed or should be removed. You know, like if someone rejected you and you don't remove the physical, if you keep calling this person or living with this person or working with them, then it's like really sticking yourself with a knife over and over. My particular theory or formula for processing things that are gone or about to be gone or removed from your life is, first of all, the physical is removed either by death or whatever, your own choice to remove the physical and memories of the physical, meaning let's say if someone rejected you, you want to remove their pictures, their gifts, you might want to change apartments because of the memory there, and just get their memory and put it into a box and say goodbye. That's one thing. And then when the physical is removed, then you got to work on the mental. Sometimes it means sitting down at a typewriter or with a pen and paper and writing letters to this person that you'll never send saying goodbye, saying you're sorry, saying all your feelings, get all that stuff out of your mind. And of course, while you're doing this, many times the emotional will be triggered, and that's the wailing, what some people feel is a breakdown. And what I remember, of course, is my famous rejection of 1986 when I went through 6 months. Somehow no one knew I was that sad on the air, even though I was crying before I did the show and after I did the show. Almost every day for 6 months I was crying because I lost a marriage that I wanted to get involved with. See, there's a certain amount of fuse involved in processing anything that's not going to happen in your life. And a lot of it has to do with the reality of understanding that this situation is not going to happen. This is not real. So once you do decide to let go, there's usually a lot of anxiety that wells up, and you have to cry it out. You have to dump it out. And the only way you know it's truly gone, once the physical is removed and the mental is channeled and processed and the emotional is dumped, that one day you get to a point, and everyone has a different time. It took me 5 years to get over my friend Michael's death. I cried quite a bit on and off for 5 years because I missed that guy. He was a great guy, and it took me a long time to get over my Uncle Herman's leaving and my divorce. But I really realized that once these things are taken from us, that we need to process it. And it takes tears, you know, more than just therapy and sessions and going out and get drunk. What you got to do is get in touch with the emotions and feel them. And when you feel them, you have to dwell on them and wail with them and let those chakras open up and dump it out like a garbage truck. And eventually you get to a point where you finally cried enough, you finally written enough, you finally removed enough, and you're okay. And you know it. You look in the mirror, you say, you know what, I'm okay, I'm over it. You know what happens then? You rebirth. The soul has gone through a major adjustment. The chakras have been opened. All these toxins, psychically and spiritually and biologically, have been expelled from all that river of tears that you've just dumped out. And suddenly you're a little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little bit smarter, and a lot more evolved. And then, again, at that same time, you ask yourself the question, why astrology? And then you tune into this show by accident, or you meet somebody that's into astrology, and you realize that this is finally something that you never believed in, that you were never interested in, that you never thought worked, but suddenly, after this recent process you've just finished, you're different. And now you want to get your chart done. And that's why so many people get into astrology. Because of relationships, because of rebirth, out of curiosity, because of trauma, possible breakdowns, and also, there are those gifted ones out there that seem to be blessed from birth with that heightened intuition that tells them, you betcha, astrology works. So let's get the chart done for this little child, and then maybe as they grow up, they won't have to wait till they're 25 years old like Farley Malaris did to get into this. See, a lot of people listen to the show 18, 19, 20. I'm jealous of them because I'm 39. I've only been into astrology for 14 years. I would have liked to have been into astrology for 25 years, but for some reason it just didn't come around till then. A lot of answers would have been explained. I would have avoided a bad marriage. You don't get married into a Saturn conjunct Venus transit or Saturn conjunct Mars. But does Farley get married? Yeah. Saturn in Cancer, I have Venus in Cancer. Let's get married into a Saturn transit. It's guaranteed to be a karmic separation. Don't leave home without it. I wouldn't be here without that marriage. So thank you, God, for that, I think. Okay. Now, let's go to the phones now. Yvonne is a first-time caller, a Capricorn from 1947. Hello.
Hello, Farley.
How are you?
Oh, just great.
All right. So are you obsessed with career like all Capricorns?
Obsessed with career. Yes.
All right.
Find the direction I want to go in.
Is that what your question is?
No, my question is, tell me what's going wrong in my life.
Oh, real good. Hey, you just...
I'm 41 and I don't know what my rising sign is. Isn't that sad?
Well, you've been going through a crisis this last year emotionally with relationships, your goals, your friends. Does that ring a bell? A lot of family changes here. A lot of karma with your family members, maybe mom, dad, and sisters and brothers, if any. I think sometimes you live life on the cutting edge. I think it's a little bit too intense. And some of the people you hang out with may be too intense, and when things get too hot, they could get freaky or scary or nervous. Because your mind is like a computer, and I think sometimes you think too much, when you should probably just relax and learn how to have fun. I think you're always figuring out what could go wrong with the car, with the life, or whatever.
Very analytical.
Yeah, so you are having the midlife crisis transit, which is what people have when they turn 40 and go to 44. You know, perfect timing, right? That's why Jack Benny remained 39 all that time. But he didn't know that 39 was the beginning of the midlife crisis, so maybe he had an interesting change. But still, you know, things will get better for you. It's important getting through this year. You've already had many changes. You don't want to dream too much, because if you expect things to happen, especially with people in relationships or business, they may disappoint you. Now, did that validate some of the things you're going through right now?
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Gail, a Taurus, 1949. Hello, Gail.
Hi, Carly.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I wish I had a wonderful planetary question for you, but mine's very selfish.
All right, let's get selfish.
I want to know, like 80,000 other people in this town, I'm trying to act full-time, and I want to know if you see that happening. Oh, by the way, I know what the minute of my birth was, if that would help.
No, I'm not good enough to figure out. My spirit guide doesn't have a computer up there to figure it out, but yeah, you are showing $1 million maybe here.
This year?
Yeah, you are. The money is, should be rolling like a river.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, haven't you seen any yet?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah, it's dribbling.
Have you been staying indoors or something? You've been tying yourself to the bedpost? Got a pair of handcuffs there keeping you in the house or something?
Is that really true? You see that?
They're solid gold handcuffs. They were given to me last year by a weirdo. No. Actually, I think there's no reason why you shouldn't be a multimillionaire with a chart like this.
Really?
Yeah. So the creativity is abounding right now. You could limit yourself easy. Yeah, it's real easy for you to say, well, after what you've been through, see, like, you might have one of these charts of someone that's still trying to get over a bummer from a couple years ago,
uh-huh.
And that anchor is holding you down.
Yeah.
If you could close a few chapters in your life and open up some new beginnings, hey, acting should be wonderful for you. You have a lotto winner's chart. Okay?
Thank you, Frawley.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Frawley. Let's go to Debbie on line 3, April 23rd, 63, a Taurus. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So what can we do for you?
Well, I've entered in kind of a weird relationship with a friend, and I didn't know what you saw with it.
You did? Is he an alien?
No. He might as well be. No, he's not.
You mean you had a friend, but you turned him into a lover?
Yeah.
Real good. That's real good. So your friendship's not the same anymore, right?
Yeah, I'll say.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You just blew that friend out of the water.
Really?
Yeah, well, now you know you shouldn't mess with your friends there.
But, I mean, it's still going on. I mean, it's still fine, but it's... I just wondered what you see with it. You think maybe...
Whenever you have sex with someone, then something a little bit more personal occurs than just being a friend, you know? So it does significantly alter the relationship. That's why I always tell my clients to keep their friends and their lovers separate. A lot of women think it's important to develop friendship in men first. And then it goes real good, and they go, wow, I have the best friend with this guy, Gina. But then we had sex last night, and the friendship has changed, and now he just wants me all the time in bed. I think what's worked for me is I like to be lovers first and then let the friendship come later. You know, I think that works a lot better for me. It might not be the same for everybody else. But in your chart, you're having a Pluto square Mars this year. And wow, that is so karmic. It's like somebody that could have been your best friend could turn into one of your biggest karmas.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that you may be having a wham-bam lesson on approach here with this relationship that just formed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be cautious because your chart is in what we call a karma hot state, which means that karma with men right now and relationships could be a potential area of pain because it might not go the way you want it to. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks, sir.
Bye. Let's go to Joan the Virgo with Pisces Rising. Yo, Joan.
Hi, how are you, Farley? Talked to you for a while.
A long-time listener, huh?
Right.
We've been on 4 years this week.
4 years?
We are 4 years old.
Well, I've listened to you for about a year, and I got my chart, and I'm the one that called about my face. Remember I told you I had the cosmetic surgery, and it came out exactly like you said. It came out fantastic. I want to thank you. You eased my mind when I went into the hospital.
Well, I was going to have cosmetic surgery, but when they walked in the room with those instruments, I ran down, but they saw somebody streaking the hallway, you know? What?
It's over before you know it.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a question. I can relate today about the separation and everything, because my mom had passed away, and my boyfriend and I broke up, and now we're back together. It's been 6 months, and I'm going to ask a question for him. He's a Scorpio with Capricorn rising, and he wants to know what the sun in the 10th house means.
Well, all 10th house sons like myself are pretty much hooked on career, which means that we're perfectionists as far as really wanting to do something successful in life. A lot of 10th house sons are successful in everything they try as long as they have one or two trines or sextiles on that sun. If they have a square or more oppositions on that sun, then it could be a frustrating road, but career seems to be a major obsession for those people that have afflicted 10th house sons. I have both. I've been a jack of all trades. I could probably list maybe 50 things I've done from, being a soda jerk at Baskin Robbins to selling encyclopedias door to door to driving a rent-a-car around the airport to selling even condoms. So there's all kinds of things I've done.
He's got Venus squared Pluto.
Really?
Tenth house, too.
Yeah, wow. Well, he would be better off to be self-sufficient or his own manager or business person mm-hmm. whenever there's stress to a 10th house planet. Okay?
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, let's go to Fran on line 8. So you're a Cancer with Gemini rising.
Yes.
Born just a couple of weeks before that famous ex-wife of mine. But don't worry, you have no planets in common, so. Just Mars and Virgo. It's okay. So what can we do for you?
Well, I want to know what's going on with my career. I need some new direction in my life.
You know you're Gemini rising, huh? How'd you find out? Monica told you?
Well, actually, I've had a chart done, 7 years ago. And I bought a book, and I figured it out myself.
Wow, I hope it concurs with what we come up with.
I trust you.
You know, your career could have been pretty crazy here the last year.
Yeah, it has been.
A lot of disappointments because as part of your midlife crisis, the planet Neptune, which is involved in stress to itself, is the lord of your career. All Gemini risings with equal house astrology, which is what I teach, have a Pisces midheaven. And the ruling planet of Pisces is Neptune. Now, your Neptune at 10 Libra is being squared by Neptune right now at, I believe, 11 and 10 Capricorn coming up. And that's been going on for a while, so talk about frustrated and making yourself sick over something. That's what it would be. Now, the good news, okay? See, when there's always weird stuff, there's good news, is that Venus in Gemini right now and Mars in Aquarius are grand trine your Neptune today. So you are shown an imminent, immediate, even 48 hours or so, career surge or burst of some kind. Is something in the fire?
No.
Maybe you better get on the phone then.
I think so.
Maybe you better start taking advantage of that energy. You are shown immediate gain or employment in career and some kind of incredible discovery of some kind next 48 to 72 hours, okay?
Starting from right now?
It started about 4 days ago.
4 days ago.
Okay. Good luck.
Okay, thanks, Farley.
Mystery caller. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Fran changed my life one day. She called me up on the phone and told me something that completely blew my mind and totally changed my perspective on life. So thank you, Fran. Okay, back to the phones. Let's go to, finally we got a gentleman here, Eric on line 6, a Gemini with Libra rising. Hey, Eric.
Hi, how you doing, Farley?
It's hard to fight your way through all these girls, huh?
Well,
women, I mean.
One time
I called a woman a girl, and she said, woman. I says, what's the matter? Are you afraid you might manifest to a girl again?
I guess today is kind of like yesterday with the super combat ability, huh?
Super combat ability, yeah.
Well, I tell you, I've had a lot of things happen in the last 2 years. I've been in and out of astrology until I've been trying to get my chart done and finally found you guys. And I've had a lot happen. I've had a couple of life experiences and not to say life or death, but a little bit of medical history. And I'm kind of young and would like just to know what's going on with the chart situation as present day here.
Well,
it's quite a bit of karmic experiences.
You know, it's not an accident that you are into astrology, Eric, because you are the lucky winner of one of the occasional charts I see where you could actually become a professional astrologer.
All right.
I don't know if you feel that. Do you feel that?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Now, this is from having, is it a Capricorn moon?
Yes.
Okay. And that moon is trining a grand conjunction, a stellium in Virgo, Mars, Uranus, and Pluto. Uranus ruling astrology, Pluto ruling the esoteric and the occult, Mars, that life force energy, all being trined by your feelings, your emotions.
Right.
So not only can you discover a lot of quality self-realization from studying astrology, but also I think you were born to help others. And part of the reason why you've had this pain, and you know, like I said, I had a big health problem too before I got into astrology, and
right.
Knock wood, in the last 14 years I've been real healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's because instead of letting things grind me, I can look up my chart and go, oh, I'm having a transit just like Alma, and then I'd let it just roll right off my back.
Right.
So you know, I really think that you are being prepared right now. You might want to call James Coleman up and take his class or Aquarius uh-huh. workshops. But you got to let Aquarius Workshops know you're my student and you're an equal house astrology person.
Right.
Okay, dude?
Okay, it sounds great.
Have a nice day and always let me know about your progress.
Okay, take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Jackie on line 7, who is a double Scorpio. Hey, JC, how you doing?
Good, Farley. How are you doing?
Real good?
Good. I want you to tell me what's going wrong in my life right now.
Well, I think I started an epidemic here with this question. But that, you know, that's might as well put me on the spot. Well, how about money problems, number one? Are you there?
Mm-hmm, I'm here.
You relate to that?
Yes.
Okay. And along those lines, you know, you could also be in the middle of a major letdown with relationships also.
Mm-hmm.
You were shown, actually, having a lot more balance last year in relationships. Was that true?
Yes.
Okay. And you could have had a major letdown recently, in fact, like this last few weeks or a month.
Month.
A month, okay. Are you still getting over that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, see, you are shown a lot of karma with men, particularly, but with women also, and you are also shown tremendous transformation and karmic growth from processing relationships, more than most charts I have seen. So you'll probably agree that once you do get over them, if you ever do, right, that you probably do feel 100% better and a lot more evolved from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to let go, though, right?
It is.
You're stubborn.
Yes.
And you like to control them. I know. It's like, sit down, shut up, I know what you do. But anyway, you know, there's hope because you are showing new relationships. And if the old ones don't work, I say dump the garbage and create a rose garden. See, what people do is they carry their garbage around, and they know the relationships are wrong for them, but they won't let go of the garbage. What I like to do is dump the garbage and plant a rose garden or a flower patch instead with new beginnings. Now, that flower patch may turn into a garbage dump, but until it does, you have to have fun in it. You know, walk around in it and enjoy the flowers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Richard on line one, a Sagittarius. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Every time I've listened. I started yesterday.
How'd you find out? Just by...
I was flipping around the dial, and I heard your voice. I heard you on another station. I said, wait a second here.
That's Farley, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that voice before. Yeah. I just called just like a general forecast, what's going on with my life.
Well, Sagittarius has already gone through a lot of their trials and tribulations the last 2.5 years. If you went through an unusually down period as far as losing some optimism,
yeah.
Saturn was in your sign for 2.5 years and just whacked all the Sagittarians for quite a while. Then right before you were 30, you went through a real humdinger of a forced transformation of some kind. Because you are an extremist type person, which means you either go all the way or not at all.
Yeah, that's a real problem.
And you get invested so deep that when, you know, those things do pass, like I said in the topic, that you're kind of left holding the bag.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it's important to put happy, smiling pictures of yourself in your house or apartment and practice keeping a high level of self-esteem and loving Richard and being humble about it, not letting your ego run away too much, but always placing a high spiritual importance on your own self. So if no one else is around, at least you'll have Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You will be very excited when you get your chart because as a Sag, you will find out you have Mars and Saturn in Scorpio. You have Jupiter in Virgo, which is the workaholic side to you. Then you have Venus in Capricorn, which is the fanatic with career, and Mercury is in Sagittarius. So you're always thinking about traveling. You probably fantasize about it, but you probably never get away as much as you'd like to.
That's true.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Floating right along here, let's go to Damon. A Leo finally got through. Hey, Damon.
Hello, Farley.
I'm a Leo.
Oh, you are?
We're cool, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
That's why people stomp all over us. We pull the pom-pom guns out, right? It's like, we'll show you a spiritual buddy. Boom, 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 boom.
Really?
Nothing like a spiritual Leo. You know, lions are so cool when they're in the jungle. You know, they're sitting there. They just had a big meal, right? They ate a gazelle or something, and they're cool for a couple of days. And somebody comes up and bugs them, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens to all Leos, you know. You got to be cool with them. Leave them alone for a while.
Well, I've gone vegetarian. So
there you go.
I'm not into antelope.
A vegetarian lion. I'd like to see that one, huh? Now, I'll tell you something. Being a Leo sometimes is tough being a vegetarian because of the instinctive nature that lions have as far as being carnivores.
I suppose.
I congratulate you.
Well, I've been told that in this incarnation I've made a special effort to be very gentle.
Oh.
No longer the warrior.
That's cool.
But, you know, I'd like to ask you, I'm starting on a project with a friend of mine. Her name is Summer, and her birthday is June 2nd, 1960.
Do I know this person?
Actually, I think you do.
I think I do. I think she's a friend of Sir Francis Bacon's, as
that's
a matter of fact.
Exactly right.
All right.
And
I better watch my analysis here, then.
That's how I've come to listen to your program, because she told me about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we're starting on this project. It's a project for musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go any further into that. But I just wonder what you see with our collaboration.
What's her birthday?
6260.
Uh-huh. Well, have you ever had a partnership before that had a problem?
With other people, you mean?
Yeah.
I've collaborated with other people, and pretty successfully.
Okay. The thing I love about your charts is that her Venus is early Gemini, which is trine your Neptune, and conjunct your Mars. So whether it's as successful as you'd like it to be, at least appears to be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
As long as things don't get too intense and too analytical or tied up with red tape, which is possible with some of the Virgo in both of your charts, you should be very compatible. When a woman's Venus sits on a man's Mars, it's fun to be together. It's real good friends, and it could turn into something even more than that. So you want to watch out mixing business with pleasure here. Be patient with that.
We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, well, you have a real good chart for that.
But all of a sudden, our relationship has just really accelerated, and we seem to be going at a parallel course at breakneck speed on this spiritual odyssey, and it's a I don't know why that's happened, but it's only within the last couple of months after having known her for over 10 years.
Okay, you know what I think you should get? You can get the Friends Lie Detector Special compatibility.
Uh-huh.
Standing profile on the two of your charts combined in a friendly way.
Okay.
Okay, Damon?
Sure.
Have a nice day.
Thanks a lot, Farley.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, that's it for today's Astrology Hour. Heard weekdays at 12 noon on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. We'll see you real soon, weekdays on KFOX at 12 noon. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.